We're rolling.
Oh boy. Oh boy. And counting down until a dog barks.
Just want to make sure that mic's turned on, Bubba.
Yes, it is turned on.
Okay.
Are you press recording? Is your mic turned on?
Yep.
And the levels are good?
Levels are good. Check for sound and action.
Very good. Very good. I mean, there's a puppy that's asleep here, but how long's that going to last?
I just want to apologize for last week's episode. I got a new mic stand, and I think I was gently tapping the mic stand with my feet. I think I was stimming my feet on the bottom of the mic stand because I could hear that sound throughout the whole podcast. So I apologize. That won't happen this week.
There's a lot of stimming in this house. A lot of spectrums.
So many spectrums. It's my favorite Bond song.
The diamonds are forever. You don't have the range, darling.
Speck Finger. He's the man. The man who will have a temper tantrum if you touch his DVDs.
Oh, God. I'm still getting over the conversation I had with my dad this morning.
Fuck.
It was brutal. Kelly
went through maybe the most brutal boomer tech IT help desk conversation. We all, the one thing that unites all of us, I think, from the age of about 45 down, is having to be the IT person for anyone older in your family. Whether you're 45 or 25, I'm sure we've all had to do this. And it's painful. But no one, and I mean no one, has gone through the pain that Kelly went through this morning. And
it was rough.
The thing is, guys, we are talking about maybe the most simplest tech maneuver on the face of the planet. But for some reason, boomer parents do not know how to do this.
It was logging into a Disney account.
Disney Plus.
They've got to make it easier. Well, I just want to have made it easy.
Yeah, Kelly actually said that to me.
And I said, I was like, no, you want to press log in. And he's like, okay. No, it doesn't say that. I'm like, log in. Press log in and then we'll put in the login details.
Mm-hmm.
Press log in. And he's like, no, it doesn't have that. It says create your account or log in.
It was pain. I overheard the whole thing and it was like I was having – like I was on edge and I wasn't doing anything.
You didn't have a dog in the fight.
No. I do get like, it's weird because my mum is actually pretty good now, but when streaming first became a thing, actually it's probably like 5 years after Netflix came out. But eventually I was like, I have all these streaming services because, you know, I'm a nerd and that's all I do is watch TV and play video games. You know, I should give something back to my mum. You know, I'll let her jump onto all my accounts. And she was so excited about it because she loves TV too, even though she'll say that she doesn't, but she does.
I don't watch anything. No. It's just there for show.
Yeah, and then you were like, what do you mean watching? And she reels off like 15 shows that...
All Korean dramas.
Or then she'll just like absolutely get you with a headshot of something that you're not expecting at all, where she's like... I'm up to season 4 of The Bear, you know, and you're like, what? When did you start watching The Bear? But yeah, she was atrocious at it as well. And it was like infuriating. It was when I was back at uni, I felt like every, because they got a new TV and then I also had some money, so I had a lot of streaming services, so I'd give it to her. But then, you know, and you give them the email address and the password and you think, well, that's it. That's all you
Because I was like, I sent him the email and the password, and then he looked, and then I had to made like it worse. Spell it out.
Made it worse.
And I'm like, like I think I don't know, man. Like when I had to try and describe to him what an exclamation point was, because that's one of the digits in the password, and I'm like, it's like an I but upside down. But I was like. That. I was like, you know when people go, wow, exclamation point, you know?
Yeah. Like Kelly having to explain to her dad which...
I mean, English is his second language, I don't want to be too harsh
on Gerald because, yeah, English is his second language and, you know, he was a butcher, so it's not like he's an English professor or anything. But try and think about how you would try to explain to someone what an exclamation mark is if they seem to have no idea.
Yeah, it's very hard. An upside down I, and then he went, oh, so it's like an upside down one but with an O on the bottom. Like a dot on the bottom. I'm like,
yeah.
Sure.
Cool.
Sure. Sure.
And then you tried, then you started trying to like explain that like the symbols are above the numbers. And I was like, no.
I feel like it's.
No, that's way too hard.
I mean, he's doing really good. When you look at like boomers like him, you know, where they bait, like, you know, he would have had an outhouse at some point at his house, you know? Like phones were only, like, he was lucky.
I mean, these
to have
people
a,
were shitting outside for half their
I know,
lives.
Like,
we can't expect them to work, be able to work a fucking computer.
He was lucky to have a telecom phone connected to his house when, you know, in the 50s. So knowing, like, the fact that he was able to log into Disney is a big whoop, you know? Like,
don't you have
technology has changed a lot for them.
There's something about boomers in particular, though, that they, like, it was like the minute the personal computer it came into existence – and they were all like in their 30s when that happened. They were all like, no, I don't want to know anything about this.
Mm. But they all have a computer. They all have an iPad.
Yeah, that they can barely use.
Yeah. My mom has an iPad, but she doesn't know what the login is for it. So it's just locked forever.
Oh.
There's no way to unlock this iPad. It's just done. Like, that's it. It's done. What do you do? What do you even do? You factory reset it? Who knows?
There's some 24-year-old listening to our podcast who was barely able to pay rent every 4 weeks that would fucking love an iPad so they could watch TV in their room in their shitty share house, and your mum's just got one that just
around.
Sits on a bench
has
till
no
the
idea.
End of time because she locked herself out of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but has no idea because my mum has like 4 email addresses.
Why do they all have so many email addresses?
I don't know. Because they'll have like an email address that logs them onto Facebook, one that logs them onto the Hotmail,
yeah.
One of them that they use for something else.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, yeah, it's for dykes. It's for dykes, I want to tell you.
Well, what else has been going on in our world?
Far out. Ugh, I just got real tired all of a sudden.
Mate, as soon as we turn the microphones on. Kelly's been working away. She's like worked out, been on the phone all day. Not one yawn. The minute we turn the microphones on.
I just took a Ritalin too, but I feel a little tired.
Took a Ritalin. I shaved my head. That's news.
Yeah.
Do you like it? I feel like you don't like it.
No, I like it. Looks good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just shows off all my fucking psoriasis.
So gross.
Did you say so gross?
Yeah, psoriasis, yeah.
Oh, baby. I might have some, you know, anxiety about how people perceive that. You're just like, gross, you look gross.
Well, you know.
Ugh, your face is gross. Oh, thanks, bub. Thanks.
No, it's a psoriasis is not you.
Yeah, the psoriasis is gross. But it all comes from anxiety, which I have chronic anxiety, which makes relationships really hard with people, because I'm a difficult person to be around. What else is happening?
Yeah, what have you been watching?
This week I've been mainly watching, actually, you know what, I'll talk about this briefly, because I know it'll annoy people. I kind of enjoy being a contrarian. But I think I'm actually right on this. I watched the first episode, season one of Peaky Blinders.
Yeah.
Peaky Blinders, for anyone who doesn't know, is a show about British gangsters in Birmingham pre-First World War, like 1912-ish. I don't know if they're real criminals. I assume they probably are. Whatever. Or maybe it's post-First World War because they were in a war. I can't remember. Anyway. Cillian Murphy is the main guy. He's very good in it, as you would expect.
Mm.
The thing that I'm going to give it more time because maybe I'll get into the groove of it. It's like super stylized, in a way that kind of takes me out of the story world. It's meant to be this gritty and grimy sort of Victorian industrial area of Birmingham where all this stuff's happening. And they do show that, but then at the same time they'll drop a needle drop of like fucking Kasabian or Kings of Leon over the top of something that's going on. And it just completely takes me, it just completely takes me out of it. It might sound like a small gripe, but I can't. It happened three times in this first episode, and now I'm just waiting for, like, you know what I mean? Jack White to fucking.
So is it good?
I don't know if it's good or not. I don't think it is. I think it's overrated. I think it's the kind of thing that bros would love.
I just know, I just like the gif that they have from that where about Oasis coming back. No fighting. And then one of them just like takes a step and accidentally like knocks into the other one. They start fighting. It's good. That's pretty funny.
There are undertones of like socialism and working classness and stuff in the show going up against the man, which I think I'll enjoy. But I've never enjoyed the parallel of criminals and the working class. Scorsese does this a lot of like, oh, well, these people are working class, so they didn't really have a choice. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And it's like, well, I was working class, and I didn't go around fucking murdering people. You know what I mean? And this show sort of seems to have like the same sort of thing of like, you know, these people were so impoverished, they had to do everything they could to get by. Anyway, it's only one episode, so like I'll probably watch a couple more to give you an update. I've given up on Preacher. I don't think anyone gives a fuck about that show. I don't know if anyone even really watched it when it came out.
Mm.
It's just so weird that the guys who made The Boys and The Studio, which people are in love with, and I have gotten on board with The Boys and I think I'll really like The Studio. Preacher's just sort of, I don't know what, like all the right ingredients are there. The cast is good. The comic book that's based on is an interesting premise. It's all heaven and hell and blah, blah. But there's just something about...
I'm not interested in
it. It just lags.
Yeah.
Every episode I watched, I kept looking at my watch to see how long... You know when you're like checking to see how long there is in something?
Yeah. Well, then why watch it? It sounds stupid.
Because I really wanted to like it because it was Goldberg and Rogan and I wanted to like their stuff, but I didn't like it.
Mm.
You always tell me that I judge things too quickly and then I did the opposite and now you're saying I shouldn't do that.
You judge things too quickly of things that you know nothing about.
Oh, okay.
Like there'll be a TV show where I'm like, oh, you should watch this and you're like, no. No, and you'll go on a tirade about why you will never watch it. And then, you know, one of your mates will go, oh, you should watch this show, it's really good. And you'll be like, oh, okay, and then you'll start watching it.
Oh, okay. Right, right.
But you diss a lot of things that you've never watched.
I do diss a lot of things that I've never watched.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't need to.
Well, I just don't understand why you would continue to watch something you know you don't like. You've given it a bunch of episodes. Like, once I'm out.
Yeah, that's fair enough. With Preacher, there were some people online who said that it got better in season two, so I wanted to give it that opportunity, but it didn't.
I mean, or maybe it's one of those shows you need to watch like four episodes in a row to really get into it.
I really liked the comic book, Preacher, so I think there was just a part of me that, you know, look, I'm a man who watched every single episode of every DC show that was on CW, The Flash, Arrow, Supergirl, DC's Legends of Tomorrow, Superman and Lois, Batwoman, yes, I watched every episode of Batwoman.
Superman and Lois, is that different from Lois and Clark?
Yes. The Superman shows are Lois and Clark, Smallville, Superman and Lois.
Roswell?
Huh?
Roswell, isn't that Superman-y?
Yeah, I think that had something to do with it as well, but I don't know. I don't know anything about that show. Oh, and there was one season of a show called Krypton, which is, but I don't know who made that or what. It was based on Krypton before Superman was even born. It was like the Adventures of Superman's dad.
What a shame. Lois and Clark was a good show back in the day, but it's such a shame.
You know what I loved about it? Dean Cain.
Well, that's the thing. It's a shame.
I thought he was great. I think he's even better now.
Because he only ever did that show and then he did nothing else except a video promoting Ice.
It's a shame that he joined Ice and then broke his wrist while he was out patrolling.
I mean, when you look at...
He's just trying to keep America safe, guys.
Yeah. When you look at the footage of him, you know, wearing his bulletproof vest, going through like a maze thing, you know, like a... what are they called when they make cops go through a... like a course?
Yeah, I mean, every 6 months the clip of Keanu Reeves doing it.
I know, it's like a
for John Wick shows up.
Anyway, so you got to like climb over a wall and
not obstacle course. Yeah,
well,
but
maybe
like,
it's like an obstacle course, yeah. But it's like, you know, for training to be like a cop or whatever. And he's just so old and pudgy, and he's like rolling over a wall, and you can hear him literally go when he has to bend over. Like, you fat fuck. Fuck off.
Yeah, you fat fuck. And that's coming from us, although yeah. Kelly's lost a bunch of weight. But that's coming from us. We're calling you – Kelly's lost 30 kilos. So,
nah.
But I'm still a fat fuck, and I'm calling you a fat fuck, Dean Cain, you piece of shit. You know what's hilarious about that is that they all see that Keanu Reeves, John Wick obstacle course video, and they think, yeah, I could do that. And you fucking can't. You can't.
Nah, it looks real hard.
Yeah. You know why Keanu can do it? Because there's nothing he fucking can't do.
Yeah, I'm not into it.
You're not into Keanu. You're not into Dean Cain being in Ice.
Oh, no, I'm doing an obstacle course. It looks real hard.
Yeah.
It looks real hard. So no Preacher.
Start watching Peaky Blinders. Still working my way through Barry, which... I don't know, I keep sort of hearing negative things about Barry. Like people are like, oh, I really love the first season, and then it kind of gets worse as it goes on. I haven't found that so far. Did you watch it? Did you watch Barry?
Yes.
What did you think of it?
I thought it was good.
Yeah, that's the same. I watch it, I'm like, this is a good TV show.
Not groundbreaking. No. Like, not like The Pit. For me, The Pit was like incredible. But it was interesting. Really, it's a good.
Story is good, right?
But I feel like I was disappointed with some of the way the story went.
Okay, that's what I keep hearing. But so far, I haven't had that. And occasionally, I get a laugh out of it.
More just like I don't know. Like sometimes, I feel like if you've got a character who is a bad person, there needs to be some kind of comeuppance.
Mm.
Like you can't just have bad characters who get away with murder all the time. I don't know. You know? Like literally getting away with murder.
Does anything happen to Mr. Soprano and the Sopranos?
Yeah. Like heaps of bad stuff happens to them.
People
die. People just die. Yeah, like they get killed. But what about
what's his name? The actual Soprano? The main guy.
Tony.
Yeah.
Tony.
Does anything happen to him?
Yeah, like he's in, you know, people get arrested. People get killed. You know, family members get murdered. Like, yeah, but like there is comeuppances.
Yeah, I agree with you with that though. There is, especially HBO, all the kind of like HBO in particular, they really love stories that involve an anti-hero, you know? And I'm like, that's fine, but the anti-hero still, you're right, Stooks, like they either need to have a comeuppance for, they have to pay a penance, or there has to be a redemption arc, right?
Mm.
Otherwise, it's just they're not an anti-hero, they're a bad guy.
Mm. Like Johnny Soprano gets shot, and he's in a coma for a while. Okay. And probably one of the best episodes I've ever seen of a TV show ever is one particular episode where he's the episode is him in like a limbo purgatory in his coma. And it's funny because it's the stuff happening and his name is like, it's not Tony Soprano. Like he doesn't have his voice. It's actually just the actor, you know, like, and his name's Finnegan, Michael Finnegan or something.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh yes, hello, my name's Mark Finnegan. I'm here for the, And it's just an incredible episode where and he's basically the whole thing is, I think I've talked about this before, he's stuck in this hotel because
you have talked about
it. Yeah, he's lost his wallet and da da, and it's just like stuck and he can't move forward, and then things are happening, like there's always this helicopter moving up top in the, like, you know, with the spotlight, like trying to catch criminals, whatever. But it's actually like people putting lights in his eyes, like for, like, you know, in the hospital and stuff. Yeah, so there is a lot of that, but I mean, maybe there could be more with like Soprano and stuff like that, and with Camilla and but the thing is, like, you know, Camilla gets like she gets treated like shit by like Tony loves her, but it's obvious how much he's just never faithful to her. You know what I mean? So as much as like. So there's a comeuppance there with whatever.
Yeah. I also think people are confused as to what an anti-hero is in storytelling. Like Dexter is the definition of an anti-hero, right? Because he's a villain doing what he thinks is the right thing.
Yeah.
Right?
But it's not the right thing. It's the wrong.
No, it's not the right thing. And Dexter, there's a new Dexter series.
How? He's dead.
Right?
I don't understand. So,
spoilers for, I mean, if you listen to our Dexter New Blood episode, you'd know that I was very happy with that season because it was like they came back, they did one last season. It was like a redo of Dexter. It's like, here's the last season of Dexter, the real one, right? Where his son kills him, basically. He's like, because Dexter's trying to, like, get in his head and be like, you're just like me sort of thing. And then his son gets the opportunity to kill him and he does and you're like, perfect. Perfect, right? Like, Dexter was a spoilt mind and as much as he thought he was in the right, he needed to be killed off because he's a fucking serial killer.
Yeah.
And his son recognizes that and unfortunately he has to sacrifice his innocence by killing Dexter so everybody else can move on. Perfect, right? Great.
Yeah.
And then literally a year later, obviously because that Last Blood season must have rated really well, boom, new season of Dexter where he shows up in New York.
How did he survive?
He got shot. From what I saw in the trailer, because I haven't watched it, and I'm definitely going to watch it because I love Dexter so much. His son shot him, and what I saw in the trailer was that the gunshot wasn't,
come on, fatal. Guys. It's fucked.
But
seriously,
it's very obvious that Michael C. Hall is like, well, this is just my money ticket. Like, this is, I don't know if he like, because he hasn't really done anything else besides Dexter, right? Well, so if you're not,
6 Feet Under was massive.
It was 6 Feet Under was massive, and then he did Dexter next, and then there was a period where you're like, oh, this guy's going to be like a great character. He played
Robert Kennedy in a movie.
Yeah. But he's not doing, like, there hasn't been another TV show.
Nah, he's just coasting.
It gives off
the leukemia, you know. Like, he's probably just, I know you're not having a go.
I'm not.
I know you're not having a go. I'm just saying, like, yeah, maybe he's just like, I don't want to travel and work too hard. It's, like, really easy for me to do this.
I do 6 months a year, I do Dexter. You know, the new season's in New York, so they get to shoot in New York. You know, he gets to live in New York for half the year.
New York City.
Why not, you know? And listen, Dexter's a pulpy comic book kind of thing anyway, so the fact that he dies and comes back, whatever. But
I don't understand. It's just write another TV show, guys. Yeah,
that's my thing.
Just,
it's
let,
like,
it go.
Michael C. Hall's great. So, like, why doesn't someone make something with him in mind, you know? Anyway.
It's exhausting.
What have you been watching, Bubba Rooney?
Well, watching the reboot of the X-Files that came out a few years ago. And it's still good. Duchovny's still great. Fox Mulder's still number one. It's great. I love it. It's silly. And I just think it's really, really good. And then I stopped watching The Office because it was those last few episodes and I just didn't feel like watching it.
Why didn't you want to watch the last few episodes?
Oh, just the whole thing with Pam and Jim is just fucking dumb. And then when they start really breaking the fourth wall, I really don't like it.
For anyone who doesn't know, towards the end of the last season, they sort of insinuate that Pam's on the verge of cheating with Jim with one of the guys from the camera crew in the documentary.
And then the documentary comes out. But I do want to just watch that last episode where Michael comes back and – for the wedding, and Dwight says, "Michael, you came." And then almost a whisper, he says,
That's what she said.
And I just think that's really great. Like, it's such a perfectly beautiful moment, blah, 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 blah. But I just started watching a movie called Maxine, which I've heard heaps about. So I'm only like half an hour in. And, mate, Kevin Bacon, Bobby Cannavale, A+. Pretty gruesome first 10 minutes though, but I'll keep you posted next week about how it goes. It's a very – obviously it's a very gross and gruesome horror movie, but, yeah, the first 10 minutes I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I didn't see any of it, but I could hear it.
No, I don't want to tell you, because you don't like horror movies.
Yeah, I don't like horror movies. I could hear it from the other room. I put my headphones on because this sensitive little autistic boy was getting oversensitized. I watched Tron.
Oh, yeah, good.
The other night.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Mate, it is – I love – Tron, I think visually it's one of the best movies ever made, and I think it still stands up now. It's been like you see it copied in like Strokes film clips and just like the whole fucking synth wave music movement that's happened over the last 6 to 7 years is basically all Tron, like all the visuals of it and stuff is all Tron, man. Like what's hilarious about the movie is I'm watching it and I'm really enjoying it because I just love the movie, but I'm watching it as a 46-year-old guy and I'm like, who the fuck was this movie for? Because it's an insanely complicated plot if it's for kids. It can't be for kids because there's too much going on plot-wise for it. Maybe teenagers, but like they sort of miss the mark there because – even though it's set in a video game, it's all about like political intrigue and stuff. Like,
yeah.
Essentially, Jeff Bridges worked at like an IT group where he was making games for them. And then there was this fucking arsehole software engineer who basically steals all of Jeff Bridges' ideas, passes them off as his own, and becomes the CEO of this megacorp, right? And two of Jeff Bridges' mates work there, and they get wind that the bad guy has made this mega computer who has plans of taking over every computer on Earth. And the only guy who can help defeat this guy is super hacker / engineer Jeff Bridges. Because he essentially built all of the programs that this guy has used, right? And for some reason, Jeff Bridges... The evil guy has created a laser beam that allows humans to go into software to be able to fix them. And then Jeff Bridges gets hit by that laser beam and goes into the video game Tron.
I feel like there was a lot of movies in the 80s where they were a bit scared of technology. What's it called? Games? War Games?
Oh, War Games is that too, yeah, 100%, yeah.
And I feel like isn't there a movie about a car that comes to life and tries to...
Oh, that's Christine. That's a...
Jewel. What's Jewel?
Jewel is the Spielberg film where a guy's being chased by a truck.
Yeah.
Christine is the...
No, I meant Jewel. Yeah, no, it's the Stephen King
one. I'm right. Just let me finish the sentence, Mum. Christine is a Stephen King book, and the film was directed by the guy who directed John Carpenter. It's called Christine.
Yeah.
I promise you, because it's an action.
No,
boys
I know.
Movie.
Yeah, I know. I know the Christine one, but I was talking about Jewel.
Why? But you were saying that it's films where people are afraid of technology.
Yeah, because I feel like I just want to throw Jewel in there because it's like cars coming to life, machines have their own brain. Blah.
Yeah. Like, no, there was definitely that. Yeah. At the end of War Games where like Matthew Broderick is essentially like, I'm never going to touch a computer again.
Yeah.
You know? And like when you meet him at the beginning of the film, it's like his life. He loves it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I feel like I feel like there's more than like Running Man.
Yeah.
Like all that sort of stuff. There's all this kind of like, oh, technology in the future, be scared. And even they were absolutely right to be scared.
Even Blade Runner was at the beginning of the 80s, and that's...
Yeah, everyone was right to be scared because the world's just on fire.
It's not the technology. It's the humans who create it and exploit it.
Well.
Well.
Well. We're just waiting for AI to do the worst.
AI's
pussy, man. You hear that, AI? You're a pussy, man.
I just don't. I think it's like, I had an example this morning where I went onto my bank's website because I was going to ask them about a business loan because me and Kelly might be buying a small business. Stay tuned. We'll tell you more as time goes by. And I was trying to get some information from the bank about a loan and how do I go about that and blah, blah, blah. And there's a little message bot, a little message thing where you can put in your question and it says, I'm going to switch you across to an AI agent, where I'm like, oh, gross, I don't want that. And then before the AI agent starts talking to you, you get this huge disclaimer saying, all of these answers may be incorrect, right? There's this massive disclaimer that's like, none of these answers are professional advice and may be incorrect. Do you wish to continue?
Jesus.
You're like, well, no. Like, one, no, because I want the correct information. But two, what the fuck is this shit?
Mm.
What is this shit?
I don't know.
So that's what AI is. So that's why I'm not worried about it, because these companies will, 100% push it out because they're fucking selfish and greedy and they've got, you know, stockholders and all that sort of stuff. But after 6 months, people will just go. I've been saying this for a long time. I think companies that end up having bespoke, like there will be companies that will advertise the fact that they have human customer service. The same way that companies tried to offshore all of their customer service and in the last 5 years they were all moving it back to Australia, the same thing will happen with AI. For 5 years it'll be like AI this, AI that, and then people will slowly move across to companies, usually smaller companies, who can't afford to have giant AI CS solutions. They'll just have human beings doing it. The only problem for that is that we will get paid even less than we do now, because most companies will say, well, why would I pay a human if I can just get an AI to do it?
I mean, what's
so
my
I've kind of just disproven my own argument, but anyway.
Well, listen, AI is going to be writing all of our scripts and then manufacturing all of our movies.
I can't wait for that.
We're not going to have anything. We're not going to have any movies. No one. Why would anyone make a movie when they can make millions of dollars doing nothing?
But humans will stop going. That's the thing. People can feel when something's not right. You know what I mean? Maybe not boomers, but the rest of us will be like, this is AI, man.
We'll have to start going to the theater again.
I've had that thought quite a bit recently. Of like, I think live music will explode. I think stand up will explode. Improv, well, theater. I think people will. Just get to the point where they're like, fuck it.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't like leaving their house, including me.
Yeah, well, there'll be two classes of people. People who go and watch stuff live and dum-dums.
Okay. Well, I'll try and finish watching Maxine.
We haven't really watched anything this week. We're just sort of talking about random stuff, right?
No, I mean, we watched the first episode of Only Murders.
Oh, we did, yeah.
And it's good.
For some reason, whenever we talk about Only Murders on this podcast, we don't get as many downloads. I don't know what's going on there.
It's good. Like, it really does know how to make a 30-minute show suspenseful. And
yeah.
Martin Short is so funny. Steve Martin's so good. The only problem with Only Murders in the Building, only problem.
What's that?
Is why can't Selena Gomez open her fucking mouth to deliver her lines?
Yeah.
Open your fucking mouth and say, like, I feel like she thinks the only way to act natural, because that's what she is. She acts natural, you know, is just to mumble, like, like, just say, okay, let's go. Okay, well, let's go. I can't handle it. And it's taking me out of it. And it's just, but otherwise the show's good, you know.
Can we have a quick conversation as you as Selena Gomez, just quickly? Hey, Selena, do you want a coffee?
I guess so.
Okay. I'll just grab you something.
I hate it. But first episode of what, season 4, season 5, whatever it is, it's good. Like, it's suspense, good. Man. It's great. I love the Martins. I love both my Martins, both Short and Steve.
And Crisp. All right. Well, on. Okay. Oh, this is. Should we just watch it real quick?
No, I've got
to
go.
The only podcast that does the introduction at the end of the podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Damien Gibson, and in the blue corner is the Italian gardener, is Gally for Sugish. Yes. Yeah,
it's time to wrap up.
Thanks.
I need some candy or something because I'm about to fall asleep. I don't know why.
Mate, listen to this.
I just had a Ritalin too. I don't know why.
This fucking yank. She puts fucking candy in her trunk while she's wearing a diaper.
Yeah, it's me.
All right.
Okay, well,
thanks for listening, guys.
Much more stuff next week. We didn't watch a lot, did we?
Oh. No, it's half an hour. That's enough. All right. Figures are up. Thanks for listening. We love you guys. We love you guys. I love you, baby.
We love you guys. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends. Whatever. You know, listen. Whatever.
Love you.
Love you. Love you.